Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, on this 2nd of December 2019. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, we are in the last month of the decade. Think about that for a second. The last month of the decade of the 2010s. It's incredible how fast time goes. Because I was just looking at like some lists with the NBA all decade team and music with, you know, album of the decade. I'm like, oh, that's right. This is the last year of the decade. Time goes by so fast. So, you know, it before you know it, New Year's, Christmas will be here. New Year's Day will be here, and we will enter a new decade, 2020. You know, before you know it. So, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the holiday season. I was able to go home for Thanksgiving and definitely had a great time. Got to see some friends. Got to see some family, some close friends of the family. And listen, the holiday season can be rough on a lot of people. Mental health, you know, mental illness is difficult around this time. Lost, you know, lost loved ones, families, you know. Maybe not at not getting along. You know, again, it's a lot of reasons why this can be a rough time of year for people. So don't assume that, you know, it's Christmas time, Thanksgiving, and don't assume that everybody's smiling because they're not. As you get older, moments become more precious, and you find yourself taking in moments more so as you get older. There's no question about it. Shout out to my cousin for the macaroni and cheese. It was just off the charts great. So she will be making hopefully another batch for Christmas time. It was tremendous. And again, I'm a tough grader of food. I don't just eat anything. I'm a very picky eater. Very judicious in terms of the types of food that I eat, especially when it comes to stuff like macaroni and cheese or black eyed peas or fried chicken. I don't just eat anybody's food or anybody's, you know, certain dishes. I'll just, okay, I can wait for this particular dish. I don't just eat anybody's food. So shout out to her for that. I hope you enjoyed your holiday. As far as Thanksgiving goes, the games were okay. I mean, Thanksgiving games, it's more about, you know, about your family and about eating. The games were so-so at best, even though I enjoyed Dallas and that whole ordeal and Jerry Jones. And, oh, man, I loved it. I loved every second of the Dallas Cowboys going down. It was beautiful to watch. Buffalo Bills out there clowning the Cowboys on their home field. It was just beautiful to watch. I enjoyed it. You know, here's the problem with Jerry Jones. And his whole, now I mentioned this last week, that he was furious about that New England loss. He's probably to this minute is bothered by losing to New England. I mean, he really felt like they should have won that game, which, you know, as a competitor, the guy is a competitive person. He's won 3 Super Bowls. I understand from that standpoint, but like Jerry, you know, New England still, you know, they're still at New England, and, you know, they still have a pretty good defense. But that was certainly a winnable game for Dallas. But, yeah, you would thought Jerry Jones, you would thought that Dallas lost to Miami or Detroit the way he was treating that game. So he was pissed off about that throughout the course of the whole week. A little bit more calmer after the Buffalo loss, in which he wasn't going to fire. Listen, Jason Garrett's not going to get fired before the year is over. We know that. Garrett is going to be out after this year, barring some miracle run, which I don't see happening with the way the Cowboys are playing right now. So we know Garrett's going to be out. They're out looking for a coach as we speak. They're looking for a coach. They're looking for a head coach. So that is what you have going on in Dallas. Give Buffalo a lot of credit. I think Buffalo's an okay team. I don't think Buffalo is a contender out the AFC, which is weaker than it has been in past years. But I think Buffalo's okay. I think they're a solid team. You gotta give them credit for winning on the road. That's a tough spot in Dallas. when Dallas needing the game, and also, you know, that short week, the road teams have a hard time on that short turnaround week. So that is a rough turnaround, unless you're playing the Lions. More times than not, the road teams have a tough time winning that game with the short turnaround. But again, give Buffalo a lot of credit. They deserve it. They are in contention for the division. They're only a game behind New England. I think New England will find a way to win the division. But Buffalo, coming into this year, never thought Buffalo was going to reach 9-3. Game of the week had to be up until this point. I know Minnesota, Seattle is playing right now. And right now, Seattle, I think it was tied last time I saw it. But the game of the week, maybe even the game of the year so far, had to be Baltimore, San Francisco. Baltimore gets by San Francisco 20-17. Justin Tucker, 49-yard field goal in the rain in bad conditions to win it. And you knew he was going to make it. The guy is by far and away the best kicker in football right now. He's going to be a Hall of Fame kicker. Justin Tucker, if he stays at this current pace, he will be in the Hall of Fame without question in my book. I mean, this guy is a weapon. I mean, really, especially the way kickers are missing extra points and easy kicks left and right. Justin Tucker is an absolute weapon, especially in the playoffs. So he makes a kick that you knew he was going to make. But if I'm San Francisco, I'm walking out there feeling good about myself. I went on the road, Eastern, you know, early start, and I went toe to toe with Baltimore. And I think for the most part, I think San Francisco outplayed Baltimore, to be honest with you. They could have easily won that game. They were physical. I think they held Lamar Jackson in check for the most part, held him to 105 yards rushing. He got his 105 yards passing. He got his rushing yards, which is almost impossible to stop right now. But I thought that San Francisco did what they had to do in those conditions, gave themselves a chance to win that game. That was a very winnable game for San Francisco. So I if there's such thing as a good loss, that was a good loss for the 49ers. Now, if you're going to losing out of the division, out of conference, that is a non-divisional, non-conference loss. That's the type of loss that you will take late in the season if you're contending for a wild card, not a wild card, but a home field advantage. It's not a bad loss. And they still have everything in front of them to be a top two seed, to be possibly even the number one seed. So tremendous game. It felt like a playoff type caliber game. Would not be surprised to see either one of those teams, if not both of them, in the Super Bowl. Still a lot of football to be played before that gets determined. But that was a next level physical playoff caliber high level game. It had two turnovers, which it was no way that game was not going to have at least one turnover. Those two team defenses are top defenses. They're physical teams. They're going in those conditions. There were going to be a couple turnovers. There were two turnovers in the game, but it wasn't sloppy. The game wasn't sloppy. I thought a high level, well coached. I thought it was a very well played game for the most part. Houston takes out New England 28-22. This game was not as close as the score indicated. Houston got sloppy in the last, I would say, couple of possessions. They allowed New England to score much easier than that game shouldn't even been that close, to be honest with you. New England put up some garbage stats. The numbers would make the game look closer than what it actually was. It was not that close. Houston controlled that game from the jump for the most part. And you finally saw New England's defense kind of break under the pressure that their offense just can't do anything. Their offense scored two late touchdowns that were basically meaningless. These were garbage touchdowns, so I don't take anything into what New England did in the fourth quarter offensively. New England offense right now is a problem. It's been a major problem for the majority of the season. You have Brady going berserk on his receivers every time he gets a chance to. Every time he gets a chance to, you know, Brady, you know, it's like Brady's telling, I would equate it to this. I would equate it to a husband telling his wife, why can't you be prettier? Like, that's how, like, he's telling these guys, separation, Can you get open? They're not, Tom. They are mediocre. They are average to mediocre receivers, with the exception of Edelman. They can't get open. These guys, they cannot get open. And Edelman's lost a step. He's not what he once was. But it would be like a husband telling his wife, "Why can't you be prettier?" Like, it's just, there's nothing those receivers can do. There's nothing they can do. It's not even about scheme. It's not about execution. They're just not good. And Tom Brady cannot, he can't accept that. He can't process that these guys are just not good. Now, the flip side to that is, it's not exactly like Tom Brady's throwing them open either. Now, I'm not one of these people who think Brady is done, because he's not. He's not. He's still an upper echelon quarterback. He's still a top 10 quarterback. Okay. When I just on intangibles alone, physical talent, we know he's past his prime physically, but just his mind alone, he's like Yoda. And you want him in a big game, bottom line. But he's not throwing receivers open. He, throws a number of bad passes out of bounds. He's not accurate with the deep ball. He can no longer raise the levels of average receivers. That part of his career is done. Like, it was a time where he made guys like David Patton and Bethel Johnson. He made those guys look good. That day is done. He's not that quarterback anymore. He cannot make average receivers look good. He cannot make mediocre receivers look average. Period. And this is the first time that he misses Gronkowski. Remember, they won a Super Bowl without Gronkowski in the postseason. This is when he misses Gronkowski this year. This version of Tom Brady misses Gronkowski. No question about it. They just don't have, those receivers are just not good. They're not getting any separation. And it is killing Tom Brady mentally. It is like he just can't, he can't handle it. He cannot handle it. Because listen, McDaniels is a top offensive coordinator. You got the best coach in football, and of course, in Bill Belichick, all time great. So in the back of your mind, it's not just scheme. Our schemes that we're gonna out scheme almost everybody we play against. So if it's not our schemes, then then it lands on the players. So again, you see Brady, and Brady is losing his mind. He is absolutely losing his mind out there. And this is serious. This is after every incompletion, after every, just about every series where they don't pick up a couple first downs or where they don't score. I mean, he's going berserk. And he can't, again, he cannot handle mediocrity. He cannot handle failure. He can't. So we're going to see how this plays out. These are the receivers that they're stuck with. I still wouldn't go and sign Antonio Brown. I wouldn't do that. That again, that wouldn't go that crazy. But listen, New England, they're going to be right there. They still deserve the respect of being New England. They're still the best big game team in the sport. But they can be beat. And they could be beat before the AFC Championship. They could be picked off in the divisional game. I still think they're going to put themselves in a position where they are one of the top two seeds. They could be picked off in that divisional game easily this year. This is one of these years where they could be picked off early. So it'll be interesting. They have Kansas City next week. Kansas City's playing well right now. They put 40 on the Raiders. That game was basically over in the first half, 40-9. Matter of fact, it was so bad that they switched to the Denver San Diego game, where San Diego again came up with a new way to choke, as usual, per the San Diego Chargers. There are some reports out there that Phillip Rivers won't finish the year as a starter. You might see, it to me at this point, it doesn't matter. They're not making the playoffs anyway. We know that he probably won't be on the team. On the team next year. So I don't even think it makes a difference. Bad loss to Philadelphia, 37-31 against the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins are playing hard. Everybody, Dolphins took a lot of heat earlier this year about, with the tanking and how they looked like one of the worst teams that I've seen in recent memory. They've actually played hard over the past for the better part of the season. That is one of the worst losses of the season. You're a Philadelphia team. You just watched Dallas lose on Thanksgiving Day. You have Dallas in your backyard, I believe in week 16, and you go out there and lay an egg like that against the Miami Dolphins. There's no excuse for it. Their defense have been playing well prior to that. I don't know how, or I don't know why all of a sudden the defense fell apart. You can't blame the offense. I know the offense had taken a lot of heat. They got their receivers back. They got a couple of receivers back, Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey. You put 31 points on the board, you should absolutely win the game. So this one you can't put on Wentz. This is on a defense not being able to contain, making Ryan Fitzpatrick look like Steve Young. So that's a horrible loss to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is not going to make the playoffs this year. I don't care how bad Dallas is. Dallas might be 8-8 and get into the playoffs. So Philadelphia just doesn't have it this year. You hear Doug Peterson come out talking about lack of discipline and consistency is on me. Okay, you're the head coach. So who else would it be on? So it's just not in the cards to Philadelphia this year. And Wentz is going to take the majority of the blame. Okay, life of the court. It's all part of being a quarterback, especially when you're one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. But I wouldn't put any of the blame on him. I wouldn't put the majority of the blame on him. Peterson has to reset that culture. A lot of things coming out, though, a lot of reports coming out where the locker room is not as stable as it once was. He has to reset that culture and go from there. They still have a ton of talent. They still have some guys. They still have a nice core of players that you can build around. We know they're a smart front office. They're right there. It's not like this is a rebuilding process, but it's not going to happen this year, especially not in the NFC. As usual, Pittsburgh wins a big game against Cleveland. There was no way Cleveland was going to win this game. They never beat Pittsburgh in a big spot when they in a game that they absolutely need. No matter if Pittsburgh has a third string quarterback. I wasn't surprised by the result, but the idea that Freddie Kitchens comes in and wears that dumb shirt just tells you all you need to know about the Cleveland Browns and why they are one of the sloppiest, mistake-prone teams in the NFL. Freddie Kitchens has made himself out to be, prior to this no-nonsense, doing anything by the book. We ignore distractions and you're wearing a shirt or a sweatshirt with saying Pittsburgh started. And then try to defend why he was wearing the shirt. And you wonder why, your team goes out there week in, week out and looks like a bunch of clowns. So it starts with Freddie Kitchens. I would fire Freddie Kitchens today. There's no way that I would allow that guy to be coaching the team in 2020. He's not a leader of men. He's not a leader of men. He's a coordinator. He's one. Listen, there are guys who are just not built to be head coaches. They are career coordinators. He's a career coordinator. It's just that simple. So, again, to no surprise that Pittsburgh won that game, but then the idea that Freddie Kitchens can come in there wearing that shirt, or take a photo, or have a photograph of him wearing that shirt, it makes zero sense. It makes all the sense in the world. It makes no sense, but it makes all the sense in the world considering how that team has performed over the course of the season. So there you go in terms of week 13. Again, you had a couple teams get off the schneid, get back to their winning ways. The Rams, Packers. Rams played very well, manhandled Arizona. The Packers did just enough to beat the Giants. The Giants are like a dead carcass, so I don't know. I don't put any too much stock into that win, but if you're the Packers, you'll take a win within the conference. I still don't believe in the Packers as a Super Bowl contender, but they'll have plenty. They have some more opportunities to prove me wrong over the course of the rest of the in terms of the rest of the regular season with some of the games they have to play. So that Minnesota, so that the Saints, the Washington football team actually won, has a winning streak. So that was a nice little win against Carolina. I'll say this. I wouldn't get too excited, but how about your Carolina? You allow Washington to run for over 250 yards rushing with no quarterback play. I mean, Haskins was not ready to play this year at all. This was a year where he should have been holding the clipboard. He's not right now. He's not an NFL starting quarterback. Period. It's not even his fault. He's just not ready to play. But you know what they want. You know what Washington wants to do. They want to run the ball, but yet you still can't stop it. Carolina has completely checked out on Ron Rivera. There are going to be a number of coaching jobs up for grabs this year. Carolina, Dallas. I think Cleveland should be, but I'm not so sure that they'll move on from Kitchens. But Carolina and Dallas will be two prominent jobs that will be open at the end of the season. But that's it's a horrible loss to Carolina. Let Washington come in and just push you around. Quentin Dunbar has really emerged as one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He's been tremendous this year. Again, it's easy for him to get lost on a bad team, but he has been off the charts good. To me, he's been so good that I think that it is time for Washington to let go Josh Norman. You're paying him like a top five quarterback, and he's not even the best quarterback on your team. So I think it's time to move on from that. But, we'll see what happens in the offseason in terms of that situation. Right now, 7-7, Seattle and Minnesota, as both those teams are vying for divisional, playoff, wild card. This has a lot of implications as far as tiebreakers could go as well for those two teams. Both those teams, I think, will be in the playoffs, by the way. I think both those teams are going to make the playoffs, but it's just a matter of where they're going to finish. And this could go a long way towards determining that. As far as the college goes, college football went this weekend. The Iron Bowl was an absolute classic. First of all, Alabama lost, which is always a good thing because everybody hates Alabama. I don't hate Alabama, but don't mind seeing Nick Saban complaining and losing. But that's a big time win for Auburn as they head into the bowl season. That should guarantee Auburn a New Year's Six bowl. I feel. Alabama is going to be out the playoffs, and it's about to be Armageddon down in Alabama as they just cannot handle a two-loss season, not being in the playoffs. Nick Saban can't coach anymore. Everything is just Alabama football should just go kaput. They should just, shouldn't have Alabama football anymore. Alabama is at this level to where they cannot lose more than one game, and anything less than a championship appearance is a failure. It's a failure. Now, I'm not ready to write off Nick Saban and say that Alabama will not be playing for a national championship in 2021, in the 2020 season, and in January of 2021 be in the national championship game. They're gonna probably have the number one recruiting class again. They're gonna have some guys that all their guys are not gonna go pro. Not ready to quite say that Alabama is done. Let's hold the brakes on that. Last time you said that back in 2010, they won back to back national championships. Okay, let's keep that in mind. Like they're not going to win it every year. At some point they were not going to make the playoffs. And again, starting quarterback was hurt. If Tua Tagovailoa is healthy this year, Alabama would be in the playoffs. Remember, he was not healthy in that LSU game. He didn't play in this game. If he plays this game, they would have put 60 on Auburn. Mac Wilson put 45 on Auburn. Think about that. Mac Wilson, or Mac Jones, excuse me. What would a healthy Tagovailoa put on Auburn? He put like 60. So I think the demise of all Alabama is being greatly exaggerated myself. It just wasn't their year. Sometimes it's not your year. Clemson has won 27 straight, and it should not be ignored the fact that they've won 27 straight. It really is. It's not appreciated the way it is. That is 10th all time in the history of college football. Only 10 other teams have won more, has had consecutive game streaks that long. And only Miami and Florida State within the ACC. Miami had a streak of 34 from 2000 to 2003, and or from 2000 to 2002. They lost Ohio State. 2003, because they lost to Ohio State in October, in January 2003, in a game which they should have won. The refs kind of screwed them in that last play. And Florida State, of course, had a streak a couple years back from 2013 to 2015, or 2012 to 2015, where they won 29 straight games. So those are the only two ACC streaks that have been longer. This is a historic streak that Clemson's on right now. And quiet is kept. Trevor Lawrence is playing like Heisman-level football right now. He really is. He's been great for the last, I would say, last 5 or 6 weeks. Right now, if I had a team to pick to win a championship, I would pick Clemson, even over LSU. I really would. The experience, Dabo is great. They've been there. They've been in the playoffs. They know how to win. They absolutely know how to win. As expected, Ohio State just toyed with Michigan. I was not fooled by some of the games that Michigan won. Ohio State, now, there are a couple of people that are trying to put Ohio State into this all-time great team. I would slow down on that. They need to win a championship before we go there. We know they're going to have a million draft picks. But Ohio State absolutely toyed with Michigan. And you wonder how long Harbaugh can take just getting his ass kicked by Ohio State every year. I mean, this is 5 straight years, and they've only one of the years that they had a legit chance of beating Ohio State, and that was like back in 2016. The other years, Ohio State has absolutely had their way with Michigan. I give Ohio State a lot of credit. Ohio State will face off against Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship. When you look at the last playoff spot, we know Clemson's going to be in the playoffs. LSU's going to be in the playoffs. If Georgia beats LSU, they'll be in the playoffs. I'm not sure. Clemson's schedule has been so weak. I assume Clemson's going to be in the playoffs. I cannot see them losing the ACC championship. There's no way they're losing to Virginia. There's no way. No way. So I think three of the spots are locked. The last spot, I think, comes down to Utah, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. And I'll be honest with you, I think Wisconsin has the inside track if they beat Ohio State. I really do. I think Wisconsin will jump both of those teams if they beat Ohio State. Wisconsin had a road. They would have wins over Penn State. They would have wins over Penn State, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio State. That is an impressive resume. And that's a resume that blows away what Utah, definitely blows away what Utah has done, and even exceeds Oklahoma's, to be honest with you. So those are the three teams I'm looking at for that fourth spot. I think three of the spots are between LSU, Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State. Yeah, I can think Ohio State can lose and still make the playoffs. Clemson, LSU has not LSU's SEC championship. That they'll play hard, but then LSU will be playing. LSU will be in the playoffs. They are a guaranteed lock to be in the playoffs. Even if they got embarrassed by Georgia, they would still make the playoffs. Far as the NBA goes, big week for Dallas, James Harden, and Carmelo Anthony. But I want to go back to Kyrie Irving, no being a no-show in Boston late last week, and being booed. This is how angry Boston fans are still at him. The fact that he wasn't there and they still boo him. So he responds with this ridiculous Instagram post. Was it Twitter or Instagram? I want to say, I think it was Twitter. It was Twitter, and you know, if I'm a teammate of Kyrie's or you're within that organization, you just wonder what's going through this dude's head. And you wonder if this guy is capable of leading a team. We know what he can do as a player, but are you capable of leading a team? Look what Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have done without him. Look what they've done without him. It speaks volumes about how just toxic he was to that franchise last year. And it seems like not much has changed. I mean, there was no re listen. Show up to Boston, take the booze, and keep it moving. Like, yeah. The no-show in bar, it makes it, if I'm a teammate, I'm looking at him with the side eye. I'm like, why are you not here? We know you're hurt. You got the shoulder, cool. I don't just I, that. I mean, but again, that's what leaders do. That's what leaders don't do. You're gonna be a no-show, and then go on social media with this ridiculous. I don't know what Kyrie would, I don't know what's going on in Kyrie's head. Kyrie will have you thinking that he has some mental issues. I'm serious. I'm not even joking about it. I don't even play with mental health like that. But some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, he will have you thinking that he has some mental issues. I don't understand some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth. I couldn't imagine, again, being a teammate of Kyrie Irving's, especially if you're not a veteran. You're a young player, and you're trying to learn the league, you're trying to find your way in the NBA, and you have to follow that dude. Great wins, a couple great wins for Dallas. I said they manhandled both the Lakers and Houston this past week on the road, so they're going to be in the playoffs without question, barring injury, barring any major injuries. Toronto has been off the charts good this year. Siakam is a legitimate MVP candidate. Toronto come into tonight with 15-4. That's the same exact record they had last year with Kawhi Leonard. So you gotta give Nick Nurse a ton of credit. All those guys are playing hard. They play hard every night. Even when they lose, they play hard. The games they lose are dogfights. That team is a legit threat to get to the NBA Finals. They really are. I mean, I never thought I would say that coming into the season. I thought they would be a playoff team. You're fighting for like a 6, 7 seed, somewhere between that 5 and 7, 7 seed. But they are a legit Eastern Conference contender. I love the fact that they're taking pride in defending that championship. Like, we are the world champions. Our defense travels. We have one, is Siakam one of the top 15, top 10 players in the league right now? Maybe. I mean, he's playing like he plays both ends of the floor. His offense improvement has been just insane from 2 years ago to now, and going from last year to now. Like, he's carried on that momentum of the NBA Finals. So they've done a tremendous job. If they keep, it's hard to see any of those guys getting traded if they stay at this pace. It really is. Wanted to get to one last NBA thing. Dwayne Wade came out on Twitter and, defended his son. His son, of course, his son is gay. His son, they pitched, he took a picture. Well, I think Gabrielle Union took a picture and posted it. And his son, had the acrylic nails and, crop top. It took a lot of heat. A lot of ignorant people were knocking, his son's attire and his appearance. Here's what I'll say about it. Jay-Z once said, a wise man said, don't argue with fools. If you have that thin, if you're that thin skin, number one, you should not be posting photos of your family on social media. If you are that thin skin, you will never win a Twitter battle with millions and millions, tens against tens of millions of people. It's just not gonna happen. So if you're not gonna respond, you can post anything you want because you don't care what the you don't you're not gonna take in the energy that's given to you with people responding, talking about your son or talking about your family. So Dwayne Wade got they just don't need to be posting photos. They just don't need to be posting photos. And I just in general, I ain't even talking about his son, just in general. Remember a couple years ago, this might have been last year. He had a problem with an NBA player liking a picture of Gabrielle Union when she had a bikini on. Okay. So clearly, Dwayne Wade is sensitive towards any type of negativity or alleged disrespect that is directed towards his family. It don't need to be posted. Listen, man, you don't have to. You just because you're a celebrity, you don't have to let everybody inside your life. You don't. If you're going to respond, if you're that thin skinned, don't post it. Again, there are a lot of jealous people out there who are going to say ignorant shit just because they want your life. They want Dwayne Wade's life. They want Dwayne Wade's money. They would love to be married to Gabrielle Union. They would love to be doing games on NBA TV. They would love to be a future Hall of Famer, three-time champion. That will never change. And, again, I never understand why these guys respond to Twitter or to Twitter trolls. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't. Got a chance to watch a lot of college basketball. It's gonna be, listen, if you love parity, if you love no dominant teams, this is gonna be the year. We've already seen Duke and you and Kentucky lose at home. Michigan State has lost twice already. They lost to Virginia Tech. Michigan went from unranked to number four in 1 week. So it's absolutely wide open. There's no team that has stood out. North Carolina's schedule is ridiculous. They have Ohio State, Virginia, and Gonzaga in about a 10-day span. ACC Big Ten Challenge should be great this year. I mean, they have six of the top 11 teams matching up: Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, Ohio State, and Michigan and Louisville. All three of those matchups, any one of those six teams could be in the Final Four. They really can. Any one of those six teams could be in the Final Four this year. Give Juwan Howard a ton of credit so far. He's created a belief with that team. Now, they lost a lot of talent last year, but the infrastructure of that program was left behind by Beilein. That is a great program. He left it in great hands. He left Juwan Howard. Again, the cupboard was not bare as far as that program goes. And Juwan Howard, I don't think Juwan Howard was going to stay there long. I think Juwan Howard could do 2 or 3 years and be a, and get a head coaching job in the NBA. How good a coach I think Joe Howard is going to be. He's young, hungry, understands the Michigan culture, bringing that Miami infrastructure as far as winning and attitude to Michigan will take them. They could be in the champion. They could be in the Final Four this year. He's going to do a tremendous job with that program. You can tell that he wants to be there. And I've seen again, we've seen a number of NBA guys think they could just walk into jobs and survive on name, and then go, belly up and just not happen. Clyde Drexler was one of the most prominent. It just was an absolute disaster when he went back to Houston, and tried to win based off name recognition. That does not work out. You have to actually get your hands dirty. Penny Hardaway is going to do a tremendous job in Memphis. With what he had to deal with, coaching in the high school ranks, AAU ranks, he understands the Memphis culture and knows the city. And Juwan Howard with the same thing with Michigan. He's going to do a tremendous job. I'm looking forward to watching that team play over the course of the year. But this is going to be a wild college basketball season. There's no, again, there, I, you know, there's no teams that have stood out. I haven't seen a lot of Virginia, but I've seen the majority of the top teams. None of these teams stand out. None of them. So it should be one of these seasons where you, again, you it won't be four no, it won't be four Cinderellas in the Final Four, but it'll be a situation where you can have anywhere from, 8 to 10 teams be title contenders, and anywhere from 15 to 20 that can get to the Final Four. That's gonna wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, we are streaming live on my YouTube channel. It should be available anywhere from 20 to 25 minutes after We get off the air and we're going to be live. We're going to be available through Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, a number of Spotify, a number of platforms. So check us out. Appreciate the listens. Appreciate the views. I will see you next time. I'm out.